Okay. Welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, June 25th workshop meeting. Call to order time, 7:00. Roll call, interim fire chief Shebrel.
Here.
Fiscal officer Ross, absent. Trustee Van Heeren?
Yep.
Trustee Reese, present. Trustee Dick?
Here.
Okay. First, we have public comments on items on the agenda. I got two forms. Donna Hughes?
Okay, my name is Donna.
You can drag that out if you can drag it. I can come around.
I have an entry, that way I have to sit.
That's good.
Good.
My name is Donna Hughes, 9360 South Van Road. I want to say thank you. Thank you to Ms. Julie Reese and thank you to Beth and Heeren. Thank you for your fiery and passionate speech last night defending the township. I liked how everything was factual. And I liked it. 20 seconds, 20 minutes, 5 seconds. I thought that was cool. That was very good. I am disappointed that he, being Mayor Gore, twisted our words and isolated and humiliated every one of us who spoke in one form or another. I think we need to do more work with our friends at Huber to tell Huber to connect with more Huber residents to call the council to stop the annexation. I think they're getting a lot of calls, a lot of emails, and I don't think it's favorable from Mayor Gore's reaction to us. So thank you very much for speaking up. So, and I have a better fashion tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Jim Shade.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Got a couple things. Yeah. What's
can you come to the podium, please?
Sure. What's the status on the county approval from Fountain to Studebaker?
They did pass that.
They passed it.
Yeah, last Tuesday, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe it was Thursday. So yeah, they did pass it. So it is going to go. The last I talked to Josh was after that approval, there's a 30-day period for they have to have a hearing for the assessments. There is only one assessment is to the property owner at the corner
okay.
of Studebaker and 202. And then their hope to go out for construction. They hope that construction will start the end of August, beginning of September of this year, contingent on weather.
Okay. So we could move forward on the study, engineering study, right? Okay. I'm assuming. So that's basically all I had. One other thing, when they bring it up to Studebaker, they're not going to cap that off, are they?
It will always be available for future extensions.
Okay. Okay.
I think that there's probably a 50-year plan that
gotcha.
Says it's going to go. With water lines, they like to have them circle.
Okay.
It's better for the flow, better for the water usage and everything. So I'm sure eventually, if there's a super long-range plan,
right.
there will be to get it back to the school somehow.
Our water system, you guys have heard this over and over again. We had some issues last week where we had to put in a new compressor, and it's just our pressure's up, down, all around, and it's getting scary, it really is, and we're worried. Thanks.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to say, I did talk to them, and the plan from going up to Studebaker is they will have, there was a special name for them, which I can't remember right now, but basically places along there
mm-hmm.
where the folks that live there can tap in.
Okay.
Don't have to, but they will make that available. And wherever there's a road crossing, they were going to put some special boxes so that there could be future. So I'm assuming when it gets to Studebaker, that's the answer to your, will it just be capped there? Now it will be, but it should be, you know, they're going to account for the future.
Gotcha.
And I talked to Josh today as well. I asked for an email breakdown of the costs associated with it. It's $3.6 million. I asked him to break that down. They did send me over something this morning. I got that from Paul, at a request from Paul. And there was no breakdown as to exactly what the county was paying, what the property owners would end up paying.
I know that too.
And did he send it to you?
Well, I don't know the numbers, but what they told me the deal was that the county will pay 2/3, and it is not all ARPA funds. Mm-hmm. It is part ARPA and part from their water and sewer fund or whatever it's called, and the not PICO, whatever it's called now, the property owner will pay 1/3, and that included for both the engineering study and the work.
Right. Okay, well, he didn't send that to me, and I requested it at 10:30 this morning. So the cost is astronomical, I think, for that area. And still, if those,
what is it astronomical when you take on a project like this? I'm not sure it is.
I'm not. I just asked for a cost breakdown of what each property owner would actually end up paying for it,
sure,
if they tapped in and so forth.
Right.
Some of the lower incomes can get some help.
Oh, okay.
But the majority will have to do an assessment of some sort.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, so that's our only two public comments. So on to our items, administration and zoning. Budget planning, so that's due on July 20th. We do not have a budget ready yet, but there will be a public hearing for that, so watch for that. It wasn't done that way in the past, but we are allowed to do a public hearing, and so that will be coming in July, early July, probably around the 5th, there will be a notification. You guys have anything to add to that?
When are we going to work on the budget?
Well, this week. So, Eric, addition to the road department?
Yeah, I'd like to put him on permanently. I think he's a good worker. He actually has worked out extremely well. He's good with his hands in terms of fixing some of the more mechanical things that are there, and he's done a lot of additional work that has kind of been sitting around, like the wrought iron fences in the Crawford Cemetery on 571, which were disabled, so to speak. They leaning against the ground, picked up and fixed and so forth. He did fix some small engine items for us, and that's kind of how we found out that the generator was missing. So I'd like to keep him.
So we kind of said we were going to post that. Do we know, did Billy go through? Was there postings when he went from seasonal to permanent? Do you know that, Beth?
I don't know. I don't remember. That was several years ago.
Well, I think he's working out.
He can be seasonal for 6 months. Shall we wait till next meeting, at least, and give it a little time? Or you want a resolution Tuesday?
I'd like to have a resolution Tuesday. I think he's a good worker, and I think for the money that he's making, it's going to be hard to find somebody who is as confident and willing to work as he is. And he works hard.
Okay, any other comments?
None.
Okay, number 3, review and update our personnel policies and procedures manual. So I put this one on there because this is what we said we would do as part of the payout for Mike. Because our employee manual is very vague on some things, and even when I talked to our attorney, he felt that it should be tightened up so it's more legal. written from a more legal standpoint and less ambiguity, and, you know, not use words like generally and things like that that were in there. So I was thinking what we could do is, everybody has a copy of that, right? Is you could review it and bring our comments to the next work session, and that could be, you know, like actually use the work session time to review what we want to change at that time. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
Sorry, I had to leave out right. CPAP. Okay. Okay, let me just write some notes down. So we're going to review it on our own time and come to the next meeting with our changes. Discuss the next meeting. Okay, number four. Hook up the GIS computer to the network and update GIS. Kemma, this was your item?
Yeah, because it's 2 years. 2 years old, and the property information is 2 years old. So we're finding that with some of the zoning issues that we're running into, that the current property owner is not what's listed on the GSI. That has to be updated. And I did ask Josh about doing that, so I think he's working on it.
All right, who knows our GIS? Who knows that system, that program?
Marty does, and he was trying to train me on it, and it's out of date, and apparently...
What is out of date? The software?
The software on it is out of date, and
We just bought that 2 years ago.
Well, property owners change every year, or every month, daily, whatever.
Well, no, I'm talking about, it's either the software, or it hasn't been updated. The actual information hasn't been updated. Which one are you saying is out of date? The software is no longer up to date, or the actual contents?
The contents is out of date, and that has to be handled through, according to Marty, someone other than us. And Mike should have done it when he was here a year ago.
So there's two things. We used to send all our updates to MVRPC, and they have a master GIS for the system. Then 2-ish years ago, we bought the software ourselves, thinking that we could update it. But to do it ourselves, Andy had experience in it, and he was going to train Mike. But to my knowledge, Andy did not get around to that. I think his plate was too full. So I don't have experience on that software. It's got a lot of different layers. It's got a lot of different ways that you need to put things in so that they reflect accurately. To my knowledge, Marty does not have that experience. I could be wrong. I'm sure that he passed updates to be done to MVRPC, and we can still go do that. You'd have to take into account the last 2 years.
I believe that MVRPC offers mm-hmm. GIS training, because I had
they
forwarded
do.
That to
mm-hmm.
Mike last year,
mm-hmm.
and I thought
they
he
do.
Said he was going to go, but I don't know if he did
they
or not.
They just had one in May, so they'll probably have another one in like November or something, or December. So yeah, somebody could go.
There also could be updates that are needed to the software
right.
that we haven't applied, if it's been 2 years.
Yep. So that's where we're at on that.
Okay.
Okay, so what is going to happen? Is Marty working for us now? What's the deal there?
Marty is helping me, and he did it gracefully. I asked him to come in and walk me through some of the things that were questionable about what we'd been doing. And, you know, half of the files are not updated. A lot of the resolutions that you all have passed for zoning, not available.
Not available? You can't find them?
You can't find them, and
mm-hmm.
you're keeping the files out in the storage shed instead of in the office with property information, personal information on previous and current employees. I mean, it's just... So anyway, I asked him to kind of walk me through some of the things that he did when he was here. He had a template of different forms, form letters and so forth to send out, since we're getting so many property complaints from our residents about other residents. We just thought it would be easy for him to come in, or I just thought it would be easy for him to come in and show me how they handled that. And we've gone through the zoning book and addressed those issues. And actually, I was on the phone for almost an hour today with Chris on several different issues with zoning as a result of some of the things that have gone on here. So, I mean, we're working on it, and he's helping, and he's not being paid for it. Just volunteer.
I simply asked what Marty is doing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get defensive about it. I'm just curious, since I had no clue. Nobody had shared that with me before. And how long do you think he's going to be helping you? How long do you think it will be before you can get up to speed in the zoning world?
He's been in the office for roughly 15 minutes three different times.
Mm.
So I don't hardly think
so there weren't as many issues then. That's good.
Oh, there's a lot of issues, Beth.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of issues, one of which is pretty detrimental as far as notices being mailed out in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen.
Well, to my knowledge, it did, but
they're not in the file, Beth.
Did you look on the computer?
We've looked on the computer, and actually the computer was wiped.
I would talk to Mike. I don't think that anybody wiped their computer. I don't think that that was anybody's intention.
So the Mike told me the files were on the server, and we did find them there.
Oh, okay, great.
A lot of them, but
okay.
They're, you know, he had his own organization.
Right.
So,
uh-huh.
So now they have to figure that out.
Right.
So, but yeah, there were some things that were not being done, that notices to the newspapers and for different things. But
notices to the property owners who surround the property.
But aside from that, I mean, it's not a problem, right? Because he's working for free, so.
I have no problem with it. I just didn't know about it.
Yeah,
and
I only knew
because
I'd seen him in the office, so.
Well, he was only there three times for 15 minutes, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's what Cameron just said, right?
15, 20 minutes, I don't think he's there for longer than that, because actually, I mean,
I'm just saying, Julie said she only knows because she saw him in the office.
Well, he got there one time before you, so that was probably longer than 15
yeah.
minutes
yeah.
that day, because I
was,
talked to him and showed him what
yeah.
Mike had
yeah.
told me.
Right.
So
okay.
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anyway, so it doesn't, I don't care.
Okay.
So, can you maybe talk to MVRPC about the GIS and see if, like, can we do that on our own? Like, is, you know, maybe they can have some advice for us if they do the training. Okay, five. Barring equipment. So I had sent an email to Chris, I don't know, several weeks ago, and haven't gotten an answer yet about this policy that employees are allowed to borrow equipment. It turns out the generator is missing. I don't know, Josh, if you had time to send out an email asking, but there's, if we're gonna have borrowing, we need to have a sign out sheet and people need to bring stuff back. So, and then also my question to Chris was, what about liability? You know, if people are taking home township equipment, are we liable in some way if they hurt themselves, or, you know, what if the equipment breaks, we replace it or they replace it? There's no kind of, not only is there not a sign out sheet, there's no kind of waiver or anything. So, but I have not heard back from him yet.
I talked to him this afternoon, or actually this morning, it was 10:30.
Okay.
And he's said no, it shouldn't be done, but he's going to be putting something in writing to us about it. And I did call around when the generator came up missing to a couple of the other townships that's around. They don't lend their equipment out. It's very unusual to lend your equipment to employees to take home, and probably shouldn't be done.
So that is one of the things that's in the personnel policies and procedures manual, so we can put that on the list maybe to change or review for next time. Maybe we'll have an answer by him from him by then.
He said he was going to put it together, so.
Okay.
He had about five different things that he got back to me today on, so.
Okay. Okay, fire department, surplus equipment sales. You were working on the list there, Josh?
Yep, still working on
still working on it.
Together.
Okay. In process. Okay, two is the potential increase in firefighter/EMT pay. We do not have a budget yet, so I think this stands as it did last time, that I would like to see a budget and where, how it's going to affect things. Still willing to do it, if at all the numbers bear out and we can retroactive it. Unless you guys feel differently.
Well, I think we have the money. I know we have the money.
Having the money and then, but you got to understand what else it's going to affect, because this is a permanent hit to the budget.
I do understand what else it's going to affect. That levy generates about $780,000. We use approximately $680,000, or have so far year to date, on average for salaries. It's for firefighter salaries, for firefighter pay. That's all it is used for. And the surplus then goes into eventually saving up for capital equipment. So yes, it will put throttle that down, but if we can't get workers to, or firefighters to be employed with us because our salaries aren't competitive, then we've lost everything everybody's worked hard to do, which is put up a fantastic fire department that can respond quickly to emergencies and has the trust of the public.
Any other comments?
I said what I said the last time.
So we'll leave it there for next month. Purchase new 4-inch large diameter supply hose for the fire trucks using ARPA funds. And we have attached quotes for that. Josh, you recommended the Atlantic option. So can you just tell us what these are used for and what are we replacing things?
Replacing all our 4-inch on both engines, the tanker, with we have basically a hodgepodge of the hose that's on there existing gets replaced every year as piecemealed as it fails in testing. We have some sections that are probably on there that are probably older than me. We've never actually done a big bulk purchase to replace anything like this with those trucks. We did just replace all our hand lines last year out of our capital improvement plan. This goes hand in hand with this and with using the ARPA funds. It doesn't take any money out of the budget. It'll put 1,500 feet on both engines, 500 on the tanker, and then the smaller sections that we carry on the sides, plus a little bit of spare should need be.
Okay, but yeah, that was going to be my next question.
It seems basically we're coming up to this fall. We don't do hose testing in the summer because it's already 100 degrees out. I'm not going to kill the guys now. But in the fall, we probably lose 3 to 4 sections every year when we do hose testing to failure. So.
And you said you will save some of it then as spare or?
Yeah, whatever we have that's still good, we'll keep on the shelf as spare and then just roll that in as needed.
All right. Well, this seems like a good idea to me. We do have the money in the ARPA category.
Is that going to take away from the vehicle that he wants?
Right now, the vehicle, I'm just kind of putting that on the back burner. I'm going through the station and kind of figuring out priorities. Hose has been on my top priority. That's why we did replaced all our hand lines last year. This has been on my pr- probably, I would say probably 10 years to try to figure out a way to do this. I mean, you can see this is a huge chunk of money and, you know, trying to get money for this wherever I can. You know, this is a
lot. So if worse comes to worse, if you, since this is not coming out of your budget, you will still have budget that potentially could be used toward the vehicle if it comes to that. So we would need a resolution Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Okay, supply hose. I need a resolution. Okay, next up is road department.
And I have one for Rhonda, but I sent her most of her stuff already.
So first, you just want to run through them since these are all new, right?
Yeah, they're all new, so we can start.
Well, some of these are in the back part, I think.
Yeah, they're kind of in order. I just put the first two, the doors on this facility, actually, and then the lawnmowers and so forth is under budget. And then, of course, the next are the actual issues for the roads itself, like Julia and
Okay, so let's...
what do you want to do first?
Well, some of these are in the old business, but that's fine. We can just do them all now.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter, but...
Okay, well, we can start with... how about Ag and Broad at Pisgah? That's on the top, and there's some photos there that I was sent by the property owner himself. And
mine's not on the top. Is that this one?
Yeah, I have mine in color, but yours
okay.
Are black.
Just looks the same one. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And so I actually spent a couple days.
I have no idea where you are. What's it look like?
This is the front two pages of that, and with Durst and Bill net or Durst estimate next, and then our W. Williams excavating is next. And there's a significant difference in both bills because of the amount of issues that are there. At first, we were just going to try to dredge out that culvert and then just reline it with. So number two and some fabric and call it a day.
This is Ag
and Broad at Pisgah.
Ag and Broad and Pisgah, okay.
It's stapled together and those are your estimates there.
Oh.
The Durst one is separate.
The Durst is separate. There are two actual Durst estimates. One is for the sinkhole on Gibson,
mm-hmm.
and the other is for this property here. They're separate. Stapled together.
Okay.
Okay. So the issue with Ag and Broad is, and Pisgah, is that when they redid that road, repaved it, and so forth, the culvert, the actual pipe that's run under the road, is off on the farmer's field side. It's actually raised higher where it should be dumping at
mm-hmm.
than the property owner's side. So you're getting the erosion from the property owner's side that is really significant. It's dumping the water back into his yard, and it's actually taken out all of the yard there, going back into his invisible fencing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got on the other side of Ag and Broad, here's a photo of that the property owner actually sent me. There's another tube or pipe that runs across Pisgah there, and you're catching the water from that side of the road as well. So this is all washed out, and it's bringing that water down. So you're washing out that side there, and then instead of carrying it away, you're not. It's actually backing back up into his yard. So you got a couple of different choices. One, you can just reline it again and hope that relining it with the fabric and the number twos eliminates part of the problem, because you're going to rebuild it back up. Or you can try to raise his side by building up that area, which Durst actually has that in his bill. And then eliminating the problem on the top of Agenbard at Pisgah that causes the water to run down from that side, and then having it dump back over on the other side of Pisgah, where it should be dumping. It's not. It should be going into the farm field, and instead of going into the farm field, it's actually going into the residence property there, because the pipe is not set low enough on that side. It's actually higher on the property owner's side, and so it's blocking everything from running out.
If I'm looking at this as like a T, I've got on the west side, I've got the big field, and right. There's a big swale there, and all that water is supposed to ultimately dump into that swale.
Right.
Is that correct?
And it's not.
And it's not mm-hmm. because the tile under the road is tipped up?
Yep. And it's actually cockeyed. I mean, I was down there yesterday on both sides of it. I mean, we were actually down in that ditch, and then they came back and they actually shot it to see what the elevation was on it. And it's off. It was done incorrectly. So the
it doesn't mean that it was done incorrectly. Things shift and move over time.
Okay, well, it's off now. And essentially what's going to happen is you don't want to tear up the whole road that was just done. So you're going to have to find a way to eliminate the water buildup there that's causing the erosion on his side, instead of having it dump on the other side where it could be spread out into the farmer's field. And that's what it was designed to do originally, and it's not doing that. So
why don't we cut the road and fix the tile? Is that a possibility?
Well, you're going to be talking a whole lot of money then. A whole more money than what you're talking now. So, I mean, anything is possible.
That's what this is this estimate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cut the road and remove old metal pipe and install a new 24-inch pipe 40-foot next to the concrete.
So either you reline it or you do it this way. So it's up to you.
So where would this money come from? Don't know.
Nope. I've already spent the budget on repaving Wildcat. And this was promised to this gentleman by one of our other trustees last year. So when I took office at the beginning of May, he sent me a nice long email telling me all about his problem and who was supposed to address it and who didn't address it. And then I sent Robert out to look at it, and then I went out to look at it, and I agreed that we would just line it with twos and fabric and try to build back up that edge of it. And never once thinking that the problem would be the pipe coming in until after I crawled down on the other side and saw that the pipe itself is the issue. It's not necessarily the fact that it's just eroding because of natural drainage problem. So.
And this is the only estimate you have for this. These other ones are.
There's one for from R.W. Williams as well that says that they'll reline it pretty much for $4,820.
Okay. But that's probably not the best thing to do.
No. It's going to be a lot more money. It's a lot more money to do it right. But according to the property owner, that's what he was promised. And I do have a comment on that.
So if we're going to look at the budget this coming week, we can see how this fits in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's that one. And then you have the issue of Singer Road, which is next. And again,
and what does that one look like?
This is the email that I got that addressed that to begin with, and the promises that were made. And then here is the actual cost for the asphalt to be done. And then again, here's we're talking roughly, the lowest estimate is 4,100, the highest is 4,700 to fix that issue. Where, and that's a significant one as well, because the inside of the drainage basin there is up 3 inches, which they can fix, and the actual catch basin itself is crumbling, so that has to be built up a little bit. And then you got to take the swale out of the center part, which keeps the water from actually heading down into the basin and then across. And then you have to go across the street where that's all
so we already torn up this ditch once, and I don't remember exactly why he didn't like it. Bart Gessman did the work. That was like 2021, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. And what's wrong with it now?
Well, your catch basin there, you've got 3 pipes running into the catch basin.
Mm-hmm.
The center pipe that leads under the road,
mm-hmm,
again, is 3 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
You have one coming from the east, one coming from the west, and they all flow into that catch basin.
Right.
All right, so it's you're catching a pool there. And then if you go back to the west side of that that ditch,
mm-hmm,
you've got a buildup there it's not conducive to letting the water flow. It actually backs up. You can see it. There's a hump in the middle of that
ditch,
the actual swale itself. There's a hump.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of rolling into the catch basin like it should,
mm-hmm,
you should have a gradual slope in there. You don't. You have a hump here in the center, and so it blocks water on this side, and then you'll have water that pools on this side, and that's what's coming over the road occasionally when you,
mm-hmm,
have a heavy rain. And then you don't clear the catch basin because the other side of the street is blocked.
Mm-hmm. Why is the other side of the street blocked?
Because somebody's dumped blocks and
prevent the erosion.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not preventing anything, because they're blocking the flow of the water out and around,
mm-hmm,
the outlet to where it should be carried away.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes down onto the property owner of that particular property's out of our right-of-way area. So they're going to have to do something about that as well. Apparently, there must have been at some point some sort of a brick wall or a block wall that kind of ran along that side, because a lot of those blocks now have fallen into that culvert area,
mm-hmm,
and it's impeding the flow of what's actually able to get out of there. And then whatever was done originally to that spill out from the pipe that runs under the street, that's now, that whole area now is clogged up with vegetation. There's large rocks and so forth that really aren't doing anything except impeding the flow.
So we can clear that part out.
You can clear that out. You have to do that to fix the entire problem. You're going to have to do all of that. And that's what they're both saying.
So the asphalt estimate is on top of,
it's on top of that.
The other two,
mm-hmm,
whichever one gets chosen.
Right. That's separate.
Okay. And the budget list.
Yep. And then you're on to the parks. You're on to Julian Gibson now. Julian Gibson, and then you can go to West Charleston Road if you want it. It doesn't really matter. You've got a sinkhole on Julian Gibson. And we found that as of Thursday of last week. And that is our responsibility. I talked to the sanitary engineer's office. I actually had Brian out there Thursday. And then we started getting contractors out there Friday. And it's our storm sewer that is collapsed there. We've got a triangle-based system. One drainage area is on each corner, and then there's a catch basin type thing in the center of the street, and you can see that actually there's some crumbling, and it all needs to be dug up and fixed. So
where's the estimate for that?
So that's the top.
That's the
top first
of the first
page
of
Durst Brothers one.
And then RW has one as well.
Oh, there is one from
them? Maybe not. Maybe he didn't send his over for that one yet. Because he...
I don't see one that says Gibson and Julia from Durst.
The first page
on
of this one.
Two together.
Does it say Pisgah and Agenrod on mine?
And you have a second page?
Yeah, it says Charleston
right
Road.
West Charleston on that one?
Yep.
I don't have a Charleston Road one.
West Charleston.
Well, how much was it?
Ford Rand.
It's 7,600.
West Charleston Road, and West Charleston Road has had three or four different ways of fixing it. The one that I like the best, and there's only two people that have given actual estimates. Everybody else has just kind of said, well, you could do this, you could do that, you could do this or that, and then you don't hear anything more from them. But actually, Durst is the one who came out with the better of the two, in my opinion, and that is rerouting kind of that area, shooting grade, bringing everything up to a level capacity, so that you have the right side of the road the same level as the left side of the road, or vice versa, and then instead of doing the regular square catch basin that's in there now, they would actually move that road over slightly and eliminate that severe curve, taking out some of that area so that it's more conducive to a regular round pipe, and then blacktop over top of that after they backfill and do all that. He's got it all listed here. So that was what he suggested, and that would be bringing it up. Now, most of these guys just want to redo the pipe, backfill it, and go on, and just leave the curve the way it is.
So if I'm looking at this Durst Brothers estimate, 1174,
mm-hmm.
Removal, pipe, and box culvert, and haul off site, mm-hmm. That is the... If you were driving on that road, that is the box culvert on the inside of the road,
right.
That they used to
mm-hmm.
drive over.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the bank back to be able to get the new pipe back from the
right.
road and to get a better flow.
Right.
Install two new 48-inch pipes, backfill with gravel and compact. Place the riprap at the ends of the pipe and on the corner bank side. Clean 780 feet of the ditch and haul material off-site. Note that the ditch is not draining correctly due to buildup in weeds. This is all great, but this still doesn't fix the other problem, which is the water's coming off that field across the street and then across that corner of the road. There needs to be a pipe under that road. Is that also on there? I'm just missing it.
What he's saying is that if you increase the size of the pipe and you reroute the curve there, that will eliminate a lot of what you're talking about.
No, it won't. If you stand at that field, it sheets down, and then it comes to that corner, and then it goes across the road. There is no culvert under the road there. There's none. That was one of the things that they recommended, that the engineering, Miami County Engineering recommended. I mean, this is great, but I wouldn't do this without doing the culvert underneath.
Well,
it doesn't
actually, I mean, the other guy didn't even suggest that, and quite frankly, neither one of the other two that have come out have suggested that. They've all just said, replace what's existing and clean out there, and the water will flow. And then nobody has suggested, other than Durst, to level out that curve and straighten it out, which I think is really the right way to handle it.
Can we do that? Is there enough right away there?
Yeah. So, but
I don't think that there's enough right of way there. I think, did you give them the sheets?
Yes. I sent them over to everybody before they come out and they look at them. And R. W. Williams has said that he would shoot the grade and he would raise that part of the turn there up. But he's just going to put another box culvert in.
Okay, but there's still no way for that water that comes to that corner to get across the road to the ditch. That's where it needs to go. Right now it's going across the road in a heavy rainstorm. So this is great. That helps the flow that's already there. There's already...
But Beth, isn't that water coming from a property owner's home there?
It's coming from the field. It's coming from that large field. And then it hits that property owner's house and rolls down and sits in that corner and then goes across the road. There was there are two other tiles underneath the road further up in between those curves. There needs to be a third one there.
So can we first clarify that it definitely does not or does contain something under the road?
Yeah, he said you can climb down there. We did climb down there. Actually, I climbed down there. And you can see that there are three actually under the road there. So, that...
There's that three curve, under the road?
There's two round ones, and then there's a square culvert itself.
They go from one side of the road to the other?
No, none of them go to the other side.
Yeah, they do. Further up, between the two curves, there are two 12-inch, 8-inch tiles. I don't know, Don, do you know what size they were? Those take some of that drainage from that field to the ditch. The rest of it is not getting there.
Your county engineer said that the water runoff is actually the problem of the landowners there, if you look at your draw. I asked that question when I went in. But
there's no ditch for it to get to because over the years, it's never been there. We need to put that ditch under the road. That's our responsibility, is to get rid of that water that's coming over the road. They can only put it into an existing ditch or dig a ditch, but they're not digging it under the road. We are.
Here's the drawing that you guys got, that you gave to us. Okay, this is the drawing that you gave to us. And when I met with the county engineer, what he said to me was that the water is coming from here, mm-hmm. okay? And that's the property owner's responsibility to get rid of. It's not our responsibility to get rid of that.
There's no ditch
here,
over there.
There's no ditch here for it to run to. It's running. He should have tiles here that carry it off and distribute. But what I'm saying to you is there's no tile or no pipe on this side of the road. There's nothing on this side of the road.
I know.
Everything is right here. Okay?
I know.
So are you wanting now for us to put a complete big pipe, which is not what's being recommended, underneath this particular area here of the street, and then have that water all carry from both sides here?
Yes,
that's what you're wanting to do.
Needs to be a connection.
But when you're saying that, okay, when you say do that, we're now taking the responsibility of this.
It already drains there. That's the natural path for it to drain.
So not do this.
We're not doing that. If that needs to be done, the property owner will do that. We're just getting rid of it once it gets down here, because it's not flowing to these.
Every person that's come out has said, right here is the issue, not this. Right here is the issue. Every contractor that's come out has said that.
And I don't disagree that it is an issue, but when it rains, this water shoots down here and gets this floods this corner and floods over. And I'm only saying that because it seems silly to fix this corner right here, but and I then later have to go and tear it up and put another
But I think
tile
if you look at Durst, if you look at Durst's estimate, he's saying that he's going to carry all this away, and he's going to shoot the elevation, raise that up, and you're not going to have this big flow that you're talking about.
Well, where is the water going to go then?
It's going to be carried into here.
How's it going to get there?
Because it's you're redoing the tile here.
There is no tile there. There's none there right now. There's nothing that right now that
you've
connects.
Got three openings there, and you're saying that they don't connect at all.
There is nothing that is on this side of the road right here that connects over here. There's one here, and there's one here. They're 8 inches, but there is nothing currently that goes under there. Now, if he tears that up and finds out that there is and it's plugged, fantastic. Just open it up. That would be ideal.
Well, I mean, I think he's willing. He wants to do the job right. He's the only one that's willing to shoot the elevation and bring it up to where it should be. Everybody else is just wanting to put the box culverts in and just redo the or redredge it out here. So. I don't have a problem with going back to him and saying, you know, you think that there's a, that there should be a pipe that goes all the way over and that will address this property owner's runoff here.
Well, if there is no pipe under here, is he expecting the water to come down this way?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to go down that way. There's just not enough fall. And maybe when he tears that up, he will see that there is one under there. I don't think that there is. And it's great to fix that curve because it is an issue and the road bed is eroding there. But I would not want to fix it and then a year later come back in and have to tear it up and put another tile under there.
I'm just telling you what they said. I've had 5 people out there. I've been out there myself in the ditch. I mean, you know, they're the experts, I'm not. And I brought you in what's been said and how to fix it according to them. So if that's not what you want, I'll be happy to call them up and say, that's not what she wants, and let them decide what they want based on what you've said.
What I would like is a solution that is best long-term solution for the road. It doesn't make any sense to fix one part and then have to tear it up 2 years later because you've got to put another tile under there.
I don't think that that's their plan. I think that they're confident in their ability to fix whatever the issue is. And again,
and there are 2 issues there. The one is that the road is that there's a lot of water that gathers at that corner. When it rains hard, that cannot get over,
mm-hmm.
and that needs to go somewhere.
I don't have a problem with Colin and Beth. I'll
Great,
call him
that
back.
Would be wonderful. I would mm-hmm. appreciate it.
Next is the playground equipment.
Okay, so let's save that. Okay. Let's save the rest for mm-hmm. when we get to the other side.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Okay.
Kind of go in order. Okay, so then next is, let's see, where are we at? Fiscal officer items. So we already talked about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we have for that. Okay, trustee items. So the fire department discussion with Elizabeth Township. Quick status update is they sent me some dates to meet. But I have not followed up on those or gotten with Josh on if we could pick one of those dates. I've just been busy. So that's where that stands. The outside counsel, used for zoning purposes, was you.
I have been dealing with a lot of nuisance property issues where, and that was primarily the call Chris was making today. We have a problem with the boat storage facility, and that they're not holding up their end of the bargain as far as the buffer and so forth. They're not picking up their service mail. We've sent them certified mail and it's been returned unopened or undeliverable. And clearly they're doing business out of there. So that's an issue. And so he is now, Mike actually is the one who called him before he left. He actually received that certified letter back that we had sent them prior to him leaving. Chris is just not getting back to me, and he said he did not get a copy of the certified letter that was sent by Mike to the property owner when I referenced the call that was made to him by Mike. And so I sent that out today to him, and he's going to review it and see what we can do. But he came up with another avenue, and he said that he had approached you all with it prior to my getting elected about what they call the nuisance ordinance, and that these properties, such as the one on 40 and the one on Scarf Road, where there's just horrible trash and junk and so forth everywhere, actually there are three on 40, can be declared a nuisance relatively easy, and then the township goes in and just cleans them up after a certain period of time of notice being served. And when that happens, the bill is then placed on the property tax of the property owner. And that would eliminate the problem. And he said that he's discussed this with your zoning person here previously, and didn't know why we weren't doing it. So,
well, let's do it.
Yeah. I think we have, we did do that in one case. I think declared it, the trustees have to vote on that. And I think since then, we hadn't used it because the two that, I think there was a couple, I want to say two, that were sent the letters ended up cleaning them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, we've sent letters to 40. East 40, and we've sent letters to West 40, and we've sent letters to Scarf, and we've got no response from either. So, and we're on second letters on both 40s. And
so did Chris say how many we have to send before
he said we didn't have to send that. What we could have done was just sent them a notice that stated they had 30 days to clean it up, and if they didn't clean it up, we were going to clean it up at their expense. And, you know,
so we still have to send them something.
We send them that, and that's all we have to do. But the way Mike was doing it and had said it had to be done was you send them a first 15-day letter, and then you send them a second 15-day letter, and then you send them a certified letter, okay? And then you send it over to the prosecuting attorney's office, and at that point, the prosecuting attorney decides whether or not it's something that they want to pursue. And that is not what Chris said to me on the phone today, so.
So do you want to send out these letters to say you have 30 days, mm-hmm. and then when you get to that point, just come and recommend
right
to make them a nuisance, we can write
the resolutions. Yeah, he's actually going to send me, he said he would put it
in the Ohio Revised Code. There's a process for it. We've done it before.
Okay. Well, that's what he said. He said that a lot of the townships have taken it on themselves to do it that way instead of the several letters and go on and relying on them to actually do it. So, again, I mean, that would eliminate a lot of this back and forth, and then nothing happened. And the same thing with the boat storage place and, you know, and the storage lots in general. I mean, they're actually parking in the buffered zone, and they're not allowed to do that under our own ordinances.
Right.
So.
And they also did not accept the letters that got sent.
Right. So that's.
So is Chris going to send you a
template
letter?
He said he would. So,
okay.
That's what that was about this afternoon. And again, that call went out the first of the month.
Okay.
So.
That's it for that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, annexation attorney meeting. Beth, you had some questions there, I think?
I thought we were talking about that in the executive session.
We can do that if it's...
That's all I have.
If it qualifies.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. The massage parlor, I left that on there just so that we could say once again, there will be a public hearing next week on Tuesday, starting at 6:30. If anybody has any comments on the wording, and then after that, we will vote it in. And it is posted on the website, so everybody can download it. Okay, next is the posting of the Township Administration Planning and Zoning Administrator and the Fire Chief positions. So the Fire Chief position, getting really close. I sent you guys an application, which we said we would put out there for your review. Haven't heard back, so.
I emailed you back. That looked good.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it yet then. Mm-hmm. So one, yeah, so then we can, I'll put that together, and so my places I was going to post it is the OTA has a site where we can post jobs, the MVRPC has a place, the fire, I don't know the letters, Josh, help me out here, the Fire Chief Association, there's an acronym. They said we can post it there.
Ohio Fire Chiefs?
Yeah. Is there someplace else? Any, and then, of course, the website and the
sure.
Facebook. Is there any place else that...
I think that's a great start.
Okay. And last time we said we'd give them 3 weeks. I'm assuming that's still good. Okay, Facebook. Okay, for the administrator zoning, I think, Cammie, you sent out a draft or a proposed.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. I think maybe we should, I mean, it's got the details for the functions and duties and everything, and I think it looks okay. We do have a job description for the zoning position in the township.
Mm.
And I compared it, and it had most of those things in there. Mm. So it is, I don't think we need them all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with this one. It's got a lot of detail.
I know.
Can you send that out? I didn't see that. Did you send out the zoning one? Or is it in my packet?
She sent it through email.
Oh, okay.
It was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll take a look at it.
Okay. Okay. Next up is the position for the anti-annexation employee. So I did start putting together a job description or site posting kind of thing, you know, similar to the ones that like this one and the fire chief one. Have a lot of detail for that as well that may or may not go in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I will send that out through email. So just wanted to give a status today.
Mm-hmm.
For review. Okay. Okay, the last one in this section was the joint meeting with the zoning boards to update the zoning resolution text. So, Kemi, you had mentioned about putting on a 5-acre minimum on the agenda. And I had gotten a call from the sheriff about a resident called and complained about junk cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff told me, and I said, you know, I told him what we had as far as our zoning. And he said that in order for them to enforce the ORC language, we have to reference it in our zoning. So that would be a change that we could recommend to the zoning text, that we actually have to reference it.
Mm-hmm. Reference the resolution that we passed?
The ORC.
Oh, okay.
There's an ordinance in the ORC that prohibits, there's three categories of what they consider junk cars.
Right, no, I know. And you have to be basically down to nothing before it's a junk car. It's pretty strict. But yeah, I think that's good. Let's update it. Let's update the zoning code so that can be in there.
Yeah, he just said they can't really do anything unless we reference
that. Okay.
So, and then, so the point of putting it on here is maybe we just go ahead with this. I mean, do we need to wait for a new administrator?
I think it'd be nice to have the zoning person on board, don't you think? So that they could meet everybody and have a discussion. And
yeah, but the months are ticking off here.
Yeah.
And we're not getting it done. So.
I'm fine with it. I have a good grasp of what's going on, so I mean.
By the time we have a date that everybody can attend, it'll probably be a month out anyhow.
Yeah.
Actually, this month, there's no. Oh, that would be this week. It's too late for that. There was no meetings this month.
No, not for July. There's nothing scheduled.
So do you want to try to send an email to everybody and see if we can get a date?
Sure. I don't have a problem with it.
To both boards? Okay, administration side. The board retreat's still on hold. Heber Heights annexation. We showed up, so I don't know. I'd still like to work on a statement. I'm not sure if it's going to
I gave you a statement. I thought you were going to
add
the school stuff.
I know you did. You did, and I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
Walnut Street dead end, I have not followed up on either. Archive Social, still on hold. Office phone system.
Well,
do you want to say anything about that?
The office phone system is fine. We're going to, the only thing that I still don't have is Rhonda's not helped me with that extension part of it. She hasn't given me the extensions, and really I haven't caught Kathy in there. It's really the Kathy's usually in during the day.
Yeah.
And when I came in, I actually had people waiting. I had appointments with people here. So we didn't have time. She had left to try to figure out what the extensions were and so forth. But we are going to get that.
So the phone where I'm sitting out in the open area, also something is weird.
I know.
I think it rings when they call the non-fire, the non-emergency fire number, but not the office number.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, zoning. Old business. Boat storage facility, did you have any update on that?
That's what the one I just told you about, Chris,
yeah.
And that. We just talked about it.
Okay.
And I think we should wait on the fees until we talk to the zoning have the meeting with them and see what their feeling is about the fees as well. I don't know, maybe that's a good thing or maybe it's a bad thing. I don't know, as far as increasing the fees. I'd like to see it pay for itself, but I don't know.
So that's the thing is, we had talked about this before, you know, before you got on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that right now we cannot, in the accounting system, the accounting there was never accounting set up for the zoning per se, other than the fees in. But, you know, like the stamps,
mm-hmm.
all the stuff that goes with it is not tracked separately. So we would have to start doing that to see if the fees are covering the cost. So I'd like to do that, but not yet. It's maybe down the road when all the financial stuff kind of
mm-hmm.
gets smoothed out and
mm-hmm.
things start running smoothly, then we can do that. But right now we don't have a way to tell, you know, if we're
mm-hmm.
making money or not making money or covering it.
Or at least
just
covering
don't know.
The expenses of
doing
yeah. it.
Mm-hmm. So put that on hold for now.
Yeah.
Until we can straighten out the accounting. just the cost of the stamps alone and the newspaper ads, none of that is tracked separately. So. Okay, the file's being brought back into the zoning office.
That was done yesterday.
All right. Okay, fire department. Josh, you got a radio update for us? Still on back order?
They should be here within the next month.
Okay.
I did get an email. They're slowly but surely getting here.
Okay. And this isn't on there, but I'm going to ask, do you happen to know... So we got a bill from MES that's still hanging out because when the boots got ordered, some of them got exchanged.
I'm working with the vendor on that one.
Okay, because they said
they'd squared away.
They said they'd send us a new one, and we never got it. So I'm getting kind of worried that we haven't paid them.
Yeah, Mike was working on it. We're both working on that one, trying to get it squared away.
Okay.
Because we had sent some back that were the wrong size.
Right.
And we're trying to get it squared away on that end.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks. And then the VFDF annual certification.
Yeah, that was done in February.
Okay. What does that stand for?
That's the Volunteer Firefighter Dependent Fund.
Okay. So you just update the contact list? And
yeah. Okay. It's, you have to do it in order to be eligible for state grants.
All right, thank you. Okay, road department, again, this is going to be mostly you. Tree removal are on Singer Road. So back to our...
I sent somebody out there, but you guys stopped me. You said that they have to approve it, and you'd already submitted four estimates to them, and they haven't responded, so I
forwarded you guys the email yesterday from Eric Sauer. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I put that on the back of the...
Okay.
The last page is that... What you sent us yesterday. So, is this the who needs to do it, and this is the quote?
$19,000.
Well, I'm wondering if you can do. I think it's the alternate price. So, if you look at. They don't want to remove those trees when it says no. This is my understanding of it. If you look at DBH, 65 inches, price removal $3,500. Does the tree need to be removed for safety reasons? No. So the alternate price is they're just removing the four main limbs over the road for $1,400. 36, $750, removing all limbs up to the over the road up to 30 feet above the road. So $385 for the next one. Then the next two, 22, 22, 14, 30, they're removing all of those trees. And then the last three, they're not removing those. They're just doing the alternate price. So I don't know what that adds up to, but I think it's less than, I think this 1950 is if they removed all of them. And I think you need to add the.
But isn't that what you wanted them to do, was remove them all so that the pavement wouldn't be disrupted?
I don't know if you saw the entire email, but these trees now belong to Carriage
right.
Hills, and they do not want them to be removed. So this is the compromise, that some of them are getting removed, not all of them, and then the ones that are not getting removed are cutting back the branches significantly. It will not eliminate the need for repairs, but it will slow it down. And he said that in his email. He knows that this is not ideal. We'd like to just take, we, the township, would like to have them all gone because it's better for the pavement, but they, who are now the new owners, don't want that. So, I didn't add that up, but I can do that real quick. alternate price plus the price removal for those four, three trees, 22, 22, 14, and 30.
So are we getting additional estimates, or this is it?
That is it.
So this is provided by Carriage Hill?
That is provided by Carriage Hill. This is what they, is acceptable to them.
Okay. So do we want a resolution on Tuesdays?
We do, if we want to get rid of them. Otherwise, they're fine if we don't do anything. But it saves our pavement if we spend the 10 grand and get them as cut far back as possible.
Okay. So let me make my notes.
Did you see the other four estimates? I mean, is this the only, this is the only one that they came back with from the four that you all had already gotten before I got?
He said those were not acceptable.
Oh.
This person, they don't, those were cutting down the trees. They do not wish to cut down the trees. This is who they use, who generally gives them the best pricing, and this guy, this company came in, he's a certified arborist, and he, this is what he did. We can go get another quote to do the exact same thing and present that to him. I mean, share this quote with, you know, share the, what they're doing with the people who are quoting and say this is what we want, and see if you can get it lower, which I'm sure would be acceptable to them. Or we can go with this. Or we can do nothing. But I do think that $10,000, we're going to spend that in repairs of pavement if we don't do it.
Okay, I'll write a resolution for Tuesday. And you got a week to think about it. You can always vote no at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, road paving.
I talked to Sandra, actually I have an email from Sandra, and they still don't have the final breakdown of the numbers. She's expecting them. She said she was expecting them this month, the end of the month, but that's, what, 4 or 5 days away? So it may, I may have them by the end of, by the next meeting, but right now I don't have any.
Okay.
So. Oh, and Sullivan Road, I did talk to Paul on that this morning. Now he is saying that they probably won't do Sullivan this year because of some other work that's being done there by utilities, and they don't, it doesn't coincide with their schedule. So he thinks that they won't get to it until, and I have an email for that as well, they won't get to it until maybe next year. But he's not definite, but it doesn't look like that to him. So.
Okay. Backhoe repairs.
Backhoe is finally finished. They say that they're going to hopefully have it here by the end of the week.
Did it fit in the money we allowed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As far as I know, anyways, I haven't gotten anything. They'll bill Rhonda for it.
Okay.
And I know she's going on vacation because I talked to her as well about that and a couple other things, and so that bill will be here when she gets back, even if they do drop off the backhoe.
Well, and Kathy can pay bills as
mm-hmm.
well. So.
Okay.
Okay, dump truck lighting package.
That's been ordered, and it's going to take a couple weeks, according to Robert, to get it all in so they can get it all on. That was ordered at the last meeting when I gave him the okay to go ahead and do it, based on what you guys said.
Okay.
And the lawnmowers too. That's
wait, not there yet.
Oh, you're not there yet.
Gravel.
Sorry, gravel. Oh, gravel, because we're not going to be doing the repair ourselves on Agenbrod. We're not going to order twos or whatever. We're going to try to get away with what we have here now. So we're not going to order any gravel unless we absolutely have to.
Okay. So. So that gravel will be used for the cemetery
mm-hmm.
fixes. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so we'll just take that off of here then. We have
Okay, the outer service doors. I think I saw an estimate.
There's an estimate in there for that. You have to go steel entry doors, and the estimate for that is for those, and you have to do the steel surround as well. There's an, all of it's broken down. And also the vanity, I asked that the vanity be replaced in there because it's nasty. It's actually torn up, and you know it needs. We need another vanity. I've got the guys going to paint the floor in there as well. Once they finish, not these guys, but our guys are going to paint the floor because it hasn't been painted for several years. So,
can't we just for three? I mean, that's $735. Can't we just go to Lowe's and get a? Another?
Can't do that.
Why not?
Because those are specific solid steel doors, I guess, from what I understand.
No, or the sink.
For the sink? Yeah, you can. But they, do you want the guys to put it in?
They did put the last one in.
No, Jay put it in.
Okay, but Jay was working for us at the time, right?
So. Jay, this guy was referred to me by Jay. I asked Jay first to come and poke these, and he doesn't have time to do it. So, this guy referred. But, you know, if you think Robert or Eric can handle it, I'll be happy to ask them to do it.
I would ask them, yeah. I mean, save $700. It can't be that much.
You want to ask them about
that? Sure, I'll ask tomorrow.
Okay. Otherwise, well, either way, we would still have to have a resolution to fix the doors.
Mm-hmm. The doors have to be fixed. They're disintegrating, so...
Any money in the budget for that? There's some in that road fund. Resolution. Okay. New lawnmowers. Now we're at the lawnmowers.
Okay, lawnmowers have been ordered. We're 3,000 under budget. They're pretty close. And we upgraded slightly. We went with a heavier duty suspension on the lawnmowers, and the extra blades and all of that is inclusive into that price, the 28.4 or whatever it is. So.
Okay.
And those are on order, so.
Did we already pass a resolution already for that? Okay, so we don't need one of those.
Up to 31,000, I believe.
Because it was, you got the extra blades, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing that Robert had suggested.
Yeah, we did that, and they want the extra, the solid wheels.
So
they don't go flat. And then we got the rear discharge mowers and so forth, and 60 inches.
Air ride?
The heavy duty suspension, so it's a better ride.
Okay.
It's not going to kill her backs, but it's better.
Okay, so we don't need anything for that. That's just an update.
Mm-hmm.
And when do you have a date when we'll get these?
They were ordered last week, and so it should be 10 to 14 days, maybe. Is what he was saying.
Okay. And they're going to hang on to one of the other mowers.
Yes, they are. In fact, Eric has fixed the one mower twice now, so. He's saying it. He thinks it's going to be good for another week or two anyway. So
do we surplus that? Josh, does that go on the surplus list then?
You can.
Okay.
Okay, 18, cemetery gates.
We did not order any gates. I had the fences all fixed on the Crawford one. There were about 5 sections of fence actually that were down across the back. So I did have the vegetation cut back and the fence put back up on the Crawford on 571. I had the vegetation cut back so you can enter actually the area where the family graves are. You couldn't enter it in that before. And I had the front 2 sections of fence fixed, but I didn't order gates. And that was mainly because the wrought iron that's there is so old, and what's new is not going to match. There's no way to match it. And I did call Dayton Ornamental Iron, and there's just no way to match it, and it would be so costly to do. So I didn't even think about that after I found that out. But I did want to kind of talk about the entrance into that cemetery. That was blacktopped at one point, and the blacktop has kind of disintegrated. So, I mean, you have to have a space there when you pull off of 571 to be able to park in there, and that's what that blacktop area was for. And it's not there anymore. So what is there is just in bigger round pieces with grass grown up through it. So I'm not sure if you want to re-blacktop that so that there is actual a parking area to pull off of 571, or if you just want to throw some gravel in there and call it a day. I don't know. And again, you said there was only $8,000 in the budget for cemeteries.
There's actually $42,000 in the budget for all our cemeteries, though, for everything.
Yeah, and that's what I also wanted to talk about, because originally at that meeting you said $8,000, and when I looked from Rhonda, there was substantially more. So
$43,216.
Yeah, we would have money to fix the road, that parking area there, in that, because there is budget amount for it.
So do we have an estimate for that?
No, I didn't do it because I was working off the $8,000, but when I actually talked to Rhonda about it, she actually sent me that.
So let's go back to the gates for a second. So now you think we just should not have gates,
you can't match
just
them.
Leave it.
You can't match them.
So we just leave it.
Yeah,
open.
And if you do put new ones on, you're going to have to do some finagling for the existing posts that are there. You'll have to pull the existing posts out because they're damaged as well, and then put new transition posts in. And it's just going to be a whole rigmarole that maybe we just can't do. We can't bite off the bullet for, because the gates are going to be very expensive. The gates are going to be somewhere $6,000-$7,000 for the gates. So, and then the post and so forth. And you know, I mean, I hate the fact that they're gone, but I mean, I guess.
Is there any other alternative to trying to match up the gates, or?
No, because they're old. I mean, they're so old. You can't. You know, you do have to take out that whole section and then try to pull it. You just can't do that. So I did. I was out. I did have Eric. I had Eric out there, and he did. He was able to finagle the three sections in the front. We got those all bolted in, and you know, they're actually straight and sturdy now. And we did the back four, five sections across the back. And once they took the vegetation off, of course, you know, those were all collapsed. You put them back up. So it does look nice. And everything is really more pristine there now. And he did cut back on Bethel West, the cemetery on Bethel West off of 202. He did cut back the vegetation there as well that had been allowed to grow into the cemetery itself, and he cut all that back and cleaned all that up. So that's really a nice little area now back there.
So what do you recommend? Do you recommend blacktopping it, or is
gravel sufficient? It was blacktopped originally. It was blacktopped originally, and you know, we could put blacktop back again so that you'd have that pull off there. Because you have nothing there now, you know.
Just pull off in the grass.
I personally think that putting blacktop there lends it to more people parking there and vandalism. Mm-hmm. I would prefer not to have it there. I think you're just calling attention to, hey, pull over, park, run in, deface a few gravestones. Mm-hmm. I like it that it's fairly not very, I mean, it's visible, but you don't notice it. That's just my perspective.
Well, the only thing I can say is that when I was there, there was an elderly lady that, just before Memorial Day, that was trying to get into the park and pulled off on the side of the road there. She was trying to get in there to park, but didn't want to get her car stuck in the grass and stuff there. So that's the only thing I can see. And it before, I'd never even thought about, you know, where would you park to go in there. But you know, I was actually parked on the side of the road myself. But I guess if, you know, nobody visits there regularly, it's not an actual operating cemetery. There's not any new graves being dug there or anything. So the only people that are coming there are as that particular woman was, older people. So I don't know. But there is nowhere to park. I mean, you're parking along 571. So that's the only concern. And I don't know if we're responsible for that, what was there, the pull-off that was there that was no longer maintained. You know, are we responsible for that?
No, we're not.
Well, maybe if we, you know, trying to do a 5-year plan, we can put some of these things on there and look at it again next year.
Yeah. So that's that.
Okay, 19 is the friendship park mapping. So this is kind of on hold. I'll put that in here.
Well, I pulled one off of the Google.
Yeah.
And what they have is kind of the two ball diamonds, but you don't have any backstops for those ball diamonds, and you don't have any fencing around that park that would prohibit the balls from being hit and down into the back creek thing that's back there. And then in the front, you know, you're gonna have to reseal the parking lot there, because you've got grass growing up through that now, and I did get an estimate for that. We're slightly under budget for this particular estimate on the playground equipment, and that's the exact same thing that we have there. I did have him price it with kind of an upgrade, with the bumper around the play yard area itself, so that mulch doesn't go all over the place, and the guys are not, you know, trying to keep it in one location, and it looks pretty nice. So,
okay. So let's back up again to the Friendship Park mapping. So this is a software that allows you to draw so that you can place things in the
mm-hmm,
future.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that should just be on hold until we get a new administrator.
Okay.
Andy had somebody he knew that was going to do that, and I don't think Mike ever found that person.
Mm.
Ball fields were next.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we had somebody ask about those, and they were going to come, right, Beth, to the meeting?
They would like to know if we're going to put ball fields there, but they're expensive. They're really expensive.
Yeah,
so
the ground is like $30,000.
The dirt, the backstops,
the
dugout,
yeah,
all of it's very expensive. So.
And you don't have the fencing around the back part of the park to stop the balls from rolling down into the, you know, once they're hit.
Right.
So you'd have to fence that as well. That's a big deal. And then to lay out both ball diamonds that are there with backstops and dugouts is pretty costly. So
does anybody ever use those now?
Well,
not really.
They're
usable.
They're not usable. And that
I
was the other.
We put a lot of money in those to get them usable.
The grading. We did a lot of the grading, and we bought the dirt to put in them. And then the other people, this is during the pandemic, right after the pandemic, they were going to come forth and get their labor. We were going to buy the backstops, and they were going to provide the labor and put it up, but it fell through. They never showed up again.
Well, when I was there for the blacktop estimate or the sealant estimate, you can't use what's there now. It's all the vegetation has grown through. The diamond itself, the infield diamond, it's a mess. I mean, you'd have to dredge it and then re-bring the sand in and dirt in to really lay it out again. And that's probably more money than what you want to spend. It would be nice to have a shelter house there. I mean, that would be nice. I don't know why we didn't put one there in the pass, but that would be a nice thing since you're, you know, you're putting money into a park for children, but there's no place to get out of the sun, you know. There's no place for you to, there's a, in the estimates I have, there's also the new benches for that. But there's no actual place for somebody to picnic there,
right,
or whatever. And
we talked about that last year, but the decision was made not to do it. So this is, so I didn't put this on here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the estimate for...
Yep, that's the estimate for sealing the blacktop. And that has to be done. Or you're going to lose it, so, you know. At least that's my opinion, anyway.
Okay. So we just need to see if we have the money for this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you save money on the, if you go with this particular vendor, you've saved money on that one end that you've allocated for it.
That's ARPA funds though, right?
You're right.
We can't
I don't know that you can use
ARPA
that to,
okay, so
to
the
do the ceiling for the park. Yeah.
So this is a different estimate? This is a different vendor?
No, yes, that's a different one than the one we originally had.
Okay.
Same exact equipment, just different. And that's setup and removal, and that's with the clip bumper and so forth, holding in the mulch, the rubberized mulch and all that.
Okay.
So it's a little, it's slightly better than the other one. I think the other one was 71,000 and this one is 63.
Okay, so we already passed a resolution for this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's the, did you ask them what the warranty was,
yep,
on this?
I've got 78 pages of it.
Oh, okay, great.
Mm-hmm. I'll email it to you.
And
okay.
Can it be here this year? Because I noticed that other estimate,
mm-hmm,
it was like
no,
months of lead time. It would
yeah,
be winter.
I don't know. I didn't discuss when they could be here or anything like that. I just,
well, this says 2 to 3 weeks lead time.
Yeah, so they're, and they come out and they set everything up, so they're, they're pretty on the ball. But he did email me the
great
warranty stuff, and
that's,
I mean, there's
perfect,
several pages of it.
Okay, so this is who you're going with.
Mm-hmm.
Exit. And it'll basically replace what we have now.
It's identical to what we have right now. So.
Okay.
Because what they do is they just, I took the pictures, send them exactly what we've got, and then they build it in. And we're getting the bench on this one for $1. They can't give it to you for free, but we're getting it for $1.
Park
so
bench price.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And free shipping.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the road department?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, trustee items. Woodward Hill Waterline Extension.
Yeah, so I think one of your concerns last time we talked about this was that the county wasn't supporting it, but now the county is supporting it. So did you guys have any other questions on these two things?
I do not have any at this time.
No, and it wasn't that I wasn't supporting it. It was that they hadn't made their, the final numbers were not in. They hadn't made their decision on it yet. So...
Right, and
that was
you,
my
right,
that was my big concern, and I'm still waiting for the, I'd like to see the exact breakdown of exactly what, as I sent to Josh this afternoon, which he didn't respond to, the exact breakdown of what the property owners are going to pay, and, you know, for that particular end of it, for Ross to Studebaker. I'd like to see the numbers so that can kind of guesstimate what the property owners along that next stretch would perhaps have to pay.
Well, I can tell you this, if we can piggyback the construction of Studebaker to Woodward Hill with this project, those property owners in Woodward Hill are gonna save a bunch, because you're piggybacking on an existing project. They're already out there doing the work. It's just basically an engineering change for the thing, but we have to get the design done. We have to get the engineering and the design completed. And I did talk to Josh. He said it is possible if we would pass a resolution. It would be very tight, but he thought that it would be doable. So I think that, I mean, I've said it again and again and again, we are responsible for the health, safety, and welfare of our community. This is a health issue for these residents. They need water. Every home in Bethel Township needs water. We heard last time from Mr. Tebby that even though he has dug the wells, and we've all said he's dug the wells, they're not running well. No pun intended there. And the same with West Charleston Gravity Sewer. For that one, I think we can get grants because I think we will qualify for some low to moderate income stuff, and it's sewage. Sewage wastewater tends to have more grant money available, or at least it used to. I don't know about the Woodward Hill Waterline Extension for grants, but I would like to minimize the cost to the residents that live in that area, because it is going to be a big project. If it's 3.6 million to go from Fulton to Studebaker, it's probably a solid 2 million to go to them. And there's only 21, 22 houses along the way. So I would like to spend 3.8 mil levy money, do the engineering, and if the cost comes in exorbitantly, then okay, we'll have to shift gears and rethink and apply for some massive matching grants. But we won't know until we do that work. And we have the money. So I don't understand the complete hesitancy every month on this.
So here's my hesitancy.
Okay.
I still haven't had a full amount of time to do as much research as I would like to do. However, let me find my notes here. So here's some of my questions. When you just said if we piggyback construction, it will be cheaper. How do we know that? Because I've never had any vendor say, oh, we're in the area, so we'll do it cheaper. We hear these phrases, and then, you know, that even the amount for the engineering study, where's the paperwork for that? Mm-hmm. Why does it cost $60,000? Whose estimate is that? Why do we not have anything?
Let me finish. Sure.
I don't want answers today. You asked what the concerns were. I don't want to hear answers back.
If I can answer them, you don't want to hear the answers back?
I also want to know, you know, you talked a lot about the grants that were given before that had matching funds and what happened in Fountain and Brandt, et cetera. But, again, no details, no paperwork. We talk about annexation by TIP. I would like to understand how that would happen. I asked this question of some people in the group. Has the group approached the TIP City Council at a meeting with a petition and asked them what they would do if the system failed? They've been providing your water for a long time. They've made the profit off of it. So why are you not asking them these questions? Have you talked to the water company that provides it? Have you approached the Miami County Commissioners? Our township does not own the water. We get zero out of it. So why wouldn't we go to the Miami County Commissioners first and ask them for money? They have deeper pockets than us. Also, they make the profit. And we're all citizens of Miami County as well. So that's another thing that I don't understand. Why the township first? Is the group prepared to contribute anything to the study or the actual extension, as did the previous extension for coming up to Studebaker? They were willing to kick in a third of it. Also, I get emails and comments. Not one single resident outside of this meeting has said they are for this and that they believe it is the township's responsibility. Not one single person that I've talked to. And also, there, I had asked at the beginning of the year, one of my goals was to make a list of projects like this that are drainage and township issues and, you know, whatever the problems are, and prioritize those. And we have not done that. So those are some of the things that I'm concerned about.
Okay, well, first of all, Miami County doesn't make tons of money off the water. They do make some money, but Clark County mostly makes the money because they supply the water. Second of all, the only reason Miami County is kicking in funding for this out of their budget is because this project came in higher than they thought, and they'd already used they'd only allocated X amount for the ARPA funds. So that's why they're kicking in. And the property owner, his additional percentage went up. And as far as piggybacking on a project, it absolutely will save them money. I mean, you've got a whole crew out there to dig 2 miles, or you've got a whole crew out there to dig 3 miles, or you've got two crews out there, one to dig 2 miles and one to dig one mile and one to dig 2 miles. I mean, it does make sense. It's economies of scale, and it absolutely positively would save money. And as far as emails, if you would like to get the emails supporting this, I can provide them with you. Provide them to you. In fact, I'll have them send them directly to you, to all of us. Every single person I have talked to has said, you did it for Fulton, right? You did it for Brandt. Why wouldn't you do it
for
them?
But we didn't do it for Fulton and Brandt. We did partial for them, and then there was grants. And that's what I'm saying.
We paid for the engineering for those
I can't even
projects.
Finish a sentence. This is why I didn't want to list the concerns, because this is how it goes every time.
Go ahead, Josh.
I just want to point out that, you know, in the months that this has been argued, as far from my point of view, the most important part of the whole feature is the fire protection feature. As the water line gets extended, fire hydrants are installed, homeowners insurance are going to be dropping because ISO ratings are dropping, because we're less reliant on shuttling water should there be a fire. We have a secure water source. It makes our job 100 times easier when you extend a water line. It is about drinking water, but inevitably water lines are for fire protection.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
I mean, and as the county lays the water lines, and that business, and the reason I'm assuming in number one is this, they do a lot of welding, and it's a lot of high-end high steel welding at that business, and that's why they needed the water run. They can't rely on the wells that they have to maintain what they weld. They're one of the larger welders they're based out of Cincinnati, and you're overseas, but they're running the water line up there to probably maintain their manufacturing, because I'm sure they're dropping a lot of money to run the water to do this. And then the tap-in fees, you know, yeah, that does get expensive. But then once that water line gets there, you know, should, God forbid, anything happen to that business, now we have an actual water line and hydrants to protect that business and all those homes along that route. If you go down to southern Ohio and the rural sections, there's hydrants and water lines run all over God's creation. And there's houses, like every 10 acres, you might see a house, but there's hydrants and water lines everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's geared towards fire protection versus
supplying water, yeah. Drinking water. Well, I'm going to continue to bring this up. This is really important. These are 21, 22 homes in our community. They are fully, at least they have said in prior meetings, they are fully aware that they're going to pay a fairly hefty assessment. They have paid into the 3.8 mil levy since its inception in 2003. I do not want them to annex to Tip City, absolutely not. I don't want to lose any more acreage, any more parcels to a municipality. But if they don't have water, I don't see what their choice is. They cannot dig wells. It's not working there. And we have a water line that's going to end up a mile away, or the county has a water line. And we have funds that we passed to do this. I've talked to the other trustees. I talked to Cliff Ray. I talked to Jerry Hurt. I talked to Gary Biggs. I talked to Carolyn Wright. They're all completely in support of this. It's like, it's a no-brainer. Of course we would do the engineering study. Of course we would see how much it would cost. Of course we would make it shovel-ready. Of course we would put ourselves in a position where we could apply for grants to reduce the cost to the residents. It makes good business sense. And I know you guys are tired about listening to me talk about it every time. Truthfully, I'm tired about talking about it. But I will continue to do it. Same with West Charleston Gravity Sewer. All those septic systems are failing. 25 individual grinder pumps all lined up to tie into that. That's not even, it's just a catastrophe waiting to happen. So, I'd like to see a resolution on the agenda on Tuesday. I'd like to get this going. I'd like to spend up to $100,000, $35,000 for the West Charleston Gravity Sewer and $65,000 for the Woodward Hill. Will it come in at less? Maybe it will. I don't know. That was Josh's number, and so we're going to go with that, but the number not to exceed. And if we spend $20,000 and $40,000, that would be fantastic. We can probably spend some of that, whatever we have left on ARPA funds, and fill in the rest from 3.8 mil levy funds. Okay, I'll bring the agenda. I mean, I'll put the resolution on, and I'm sure I will get a second, and we will vote to pass this. Thank you.
Okay, it's 24. I guess we already talked about the gravity sewer, so the goals and objectives, update. No new updates here. Okay. So that brings us to the executive session.
When did we decide on the trees? Are you going to call him for the or call them for the trees then? And are we going to go ahead and go with this?
We were going to put a resolution on.
Okay.
You have a week to think about it.
Oh yeah, that's what you said. I'm sorry, I forgot.
No problem. Okay, so in the agenda, I wrote the two. Going for number one. G part one, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline. Promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official. And then number eight, to consider, let me read what we have to say. We have to actually narrow this down. to protect the possible investment or expenditure of public funds to be made in connection with the economic development project for the purpose to consult with an attorney regarding negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance, and for the purpose to consider dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official. So for those two reasons. Need a motion?
Motion.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, for the vote, Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Van Heeren?
Yes.
Trustee Reese, yes. Time into executive session will be 8:54. And we do not expect any action after the executive session. Thank you for coming.
Can I have just a couple minutes? I want to see how
we can take a break. I'm going to turn this off.